You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Wednesday. I always thought today was Thursday, Jay. I've got my days all messed up.
It better not be Thursday because I didn't take out the garbage cans this morning.
I have the same problem. Good to see you, Jay. A lot to talk about today, and we have a great guest.
We do. We have a great guest, Doug Pfaff, who's the kicker at Arizona in the 88 and 89 season. Had some great moments during those couple of years, and so we'll reminisce about that stuff. He's also got some what I think are some great perspectives because he was a college athlete. His son was a football player at Arizona, so he's got that perspective, and he's a high school football coach. So we're kind of like all over the board in terms of what he might be able to talk to us about, today with everything going on.
A lot of good conversations we'll have. Reminisce about the good old days when we covered him when he was a player.
Right, we both covered him. And I went and dug up some newspaper clippings of those days.
Did tears?
No tears, but it was kind of cool to see that. And I thought, you know what? I wasn't a bad writer.
That was many years ago.
My daughter laughed when I said that.
I first got here. That's 32 years ago.
That's the last time I talked to Doug. Would have been at the end of that season. Although we've been Facebook friends for a while, and I'm not really sure how that happened, but we've been Facebook friends. So, you know, that was kind of one of the, you know, his name popped up on my feed, and that's when I thought, hey, let's get him on the show. So it's funny how that happens, but it's been a while.
I had him on the show about 6-7 months ago, and because I ran into him at the football field. Hey, that's Doug Pfaff, and his son was on the team. So it'll be good to kind of reminisce again. We both covered him at the same time. In the meantime, a lot of crazy stuff continues to happen worldwide with the pandemic.
We took a beating today, Steve.
Let me tell you something. You may not get to see sports this fall.
We took a beating. You know, it started out with the Ivy League announcing that they're not going to have any sports at all. But we got to put that in a little bit of perspective. You know, football in the Ivy League is kind of like women's softball at Arizona.
It's
important. People go to it, but it doesn't make money for the school.
Yeah.
So there's that. So it's not the type of thing that is going to have a big impact on the FBS schools. I went through the schedule, and only one FBS team, that's Army, has a game against an Ivy League school. So that's the only one that's, from a scheduling standpoint, that's affected.
It's a domino, but not a strong enough domino to knock other dominoes down.
I think it's one of those things where the domino kind of fell to the side, right? Everybody saw it fall and held their breath, and the rest of it hasn't gone yet. I don't think that's going to have a major impact from that. Now, where it could have an impact is other teams sort of at their level. The mid-major or FCS schools that do play, you know, FBS schools. I could see them, it having an impact on them, but it's not going to make an SEC school go, ooh, the Ivy League's not playing, neither are we.
Let's say these are the smart schools. Harvard and another smart school today eliminated 11 sports.
Right.
The sports weren't major sports, but they were the smaller sports.
Well, yeah. Well, Stanford is cutting 11 sports, and the thing about that is that Stanford cutting those 11 sports isn't like Arizona cutting those 11 sports,
right?
Because Stanford has made its bones about its athletic program through all the national championships it wins in the quote-unquote Olympic sports.
Plus, they're number one in college athletics overall.
Across the board, and they had the most sports, and so they're cutting 11 sports, and they're all sports that, look, you know, people say, well, you know, it's rowing. I mean, who cares about rowing? Well, you know what? The people on the rowing team care.
Right.
And they care a lot. They have scholarships. And maybe they don't have full scholarships, but, you know, I'll take a partial scholarship.
It affects you if you're affected by it.
Right. If you're an athlete in one of those teams, you're feeling it and you're hurt by this. So, there's no way you can sit there and say, you know, that's not a big deal. That is a big deal.
Let me also say that could be a domino.
That one is. That one could be because now, you know, it's one of those things. Well, Stanford, that really, really cares about these sports, if they're cutting sports, what are we going to do?
Right. You know? Well, it eliminated the sports, and then the people involved with the coaches, the support staff.
Right.
It's another trickle down thing.
Right. It's scholarships, it's students, and it's jobs.
Right.
And that's the unfortunate part of all of that. So, you know, could that trigger some other things? I think that's more likely to trigger something than the Ivy League.
At the end of the day, we're all going to be living together.
You know, it's just, you know, we just, I don't know. Today, we took a beating. Ohio State,
right.
They announced that they're pausing their voluntary workouts, including football.
North Carolina did the same thing.
Ohio State did not release how many student athletes have the COVID, but it was enough for them to pause their workouts. Now, you know, we keep seeing reports of other schools that are testing and they're only getting, you know, a very small percentage and that kind of thing, and it's enough that they can handle it, but it's happening, you know, and people are training, and this is one way that people are dealing with it. And what I read on the Ohio State thing is they're going to pause for like a week, go get these students that got positive tests, test them again, and see maybe in a week they, you know, kind of resume things. But the fact that it happens to where the point that you got to stop because enough people got it all at once, you know, you got to stop the spread. And that's the idea behind all of this.
And it's happening here. So it's the NBA is talking about it as well. If they continue to get more and more tests that are negative, there may not be a season.
Steve, I think we're hanging on by a thread right now on some of this stuff.
No question.
I think, you know, baseball and Major League Baseball and the NBA, as much as they want to make it happen and all the resources they have to make it happen, I do believe it's kind of all hanging by a thread. Do I think it can still happen? Sure. But I do believe it's hanging by a thread. You know, another thing I saw today, one of the a coach from the Big Ten said that they're not playing any non-conference games. Now, it's not a final decision. Nobody's announced that. But a coach anonymously told a reporter that non-conference games are off the table.
That makes the most sense. We've talked about it a lot here
in
the last month or so, because it makes the most sense. Because why do it?
Right. Why? Exactly. Why? I mean, you're not gonna get a bunch of people at the game. You're going to pay for somebody to come here. You're gonna endanger them.
Skeptical about right?
Right. The conference games are important enough. Why risk being able to play those in order to play Portland State?
Right.
So you know, the other piece of that Big Ten item was that the coach, I don't know if it was a coach or an athletic director, but somebody like that also said that what the Big Ten is talking about is playing 10 conference games, and that's it.
You know what? Do you think that this is going to shape the future of what we see down the road? But you know what I'm saying? This kind of sets a precedent?
It's going to set the precedent from the standpoint that teams are going to be, if they're going to play non-conference games, they're going to play non-conference games against somebody in the region or whatever, so that if they have to cancel the game or something like that, or you know, if there are things like that, there has to be continued testing, you know, next season or the season after, that it can be handled in a way. You know, Arizona, I don't see Arizona is going to play, you know, Florida anymore. Now, you know, we know those games are scheduled into the future to play Mississippi State and LSU and Nebraska.
Alabama,
and all that stuff. Those are the games that I see going away.
Right.
And teams are just going to, you know, maybe you back it down to an 11-game season again, you know, or even a 10-game season.
Right.
I mean, it was a 10-game season in our lifetime. We were little, but you know, they played a 10-game season in our lifetime.
Back to the WEC days. Hello, New Mexico. Hello, Colorado State, San Diego State. All those teams that are close by. Hey, let's take a quick break. Get a hold of Doug Pfaff and talk to him about the good old days. Talk about the current situation as a coach, former player, and all that. Thanks.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply. It's those guys from Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson.
For the month of July, we're going to donate 2% of our sales to a local charity from in-stock purchases.
Come shop at our store and work with our amazing sales team.
Dustin, David, Brian, Alex, me, and Peter.
You can choose from a list of local charities for us to donate to.
The only way we can give back is if you shop local.
Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low price is your priority.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez. And now on the phone, former U of A kicker Doug Pfaff. Doug, how are you in the 118-degree weather?
Oh, Steve and Jay, I'm doing great. But you're right, this weather is getting a little bit extreme for us.
You've been in Dallas, you've been in Phoenix. Dallas is it's crazy, too. Which is better, weather-wise?
You know, it's different because I was just in Dallas last weekend. My youngest son, Blake, who just graduated from U of A, moved back to Dallas. And I will tell you, being away from the humidity for 2 years, it hit me. I'm like, okay, this I can't remember it being this humid. But so I think I'd lean more towards the Arizona dry heat just because you know it's hot, but as long as you aren't standing out in the sun, you're not going to sweat. Where in Dallas, it doesn't matter. Just, you know, if you're outside, you're going to sweat because of the humidity.
Yeah, but you're still up in Sun Devil country. So if you're going to be, you deserve to be hotter if you're going to hang out up there is what I'm thinking.
You know, Jay, when I moved out here 2 years ago from Dallas, I moved actually into Tempe and I went to a restaurant and they called it Sun Devil Fries. And I went up and I said, hey, can I get some Wildcat fries? The lady at the register looked at me and I'm like, yeah, Wildcat fries. She's like, I'm sorry, sir. We don't make those. I'm like, well, I'm not eating the other fries that you have. I need to have Wildcat fries. she had that puzzled look. So, yeah, I do see a lot of maroon and gold up here, but I'm doing everything I can to kind of put some red and blue up in Tempe.
That's a gutsy move because the next time you order fries, who knows what's going to be in those
exactly.
fries.
Exactly.
Yeah, good thing it wasn't the chef that I was talking to.
Right. How you doing? I didn't realize it. Are you the head coach in high school?
No. Dan Hines is the head coach at Desert Vista, and he's been there, gosh, I think he's been there a little over 20 years at Desert Vista. So I was the special teams coordinator last year and just had a blast. I've always loved coaching, just kind of, you know, once I started my professional career, coaching was just, you know, kind of related to just my own kids. But now that my kids are out of the house, I had a couple opportunities the last couple of years when I moved back to coach at two different schools. The first one was actually South Point High School. We won the championship, and that's a school where Reggie McGill's brother is is basically the principal at that school. So it was kind of a neat connection, getting, you know, quasi connected to the McGill family. But then last year, coached special teams at Desert Vista. We had a really good run, made it to the state semis in 6A. Unfortunately, got beat by 3 points to Liberty, who eventually won the state championship in 6A. But, you know, so we didn't quite achieve all of our goals, but at least we had a pretty good run at it last year.
Well, first of all, the fact that you're at a high school that has a special teams coordinator is kind of amazing to me because, you know, when we played, there were like three coaches, right? A defensive coach, an offensive coach, and a head coach. So let's start there. You know, kind of, you know, in terms of what you're seeing, what you're hearing, you know, you're in 6A football. I mean, what's going on as far as COVID, and, you know, what do you think is going to happen?
You know, it's still a moving target every day, Steve and Jay. In early June, AIA allowed us to start doing some conditioning practices where we could only be in groups of like 10 kids per one coach, and you could not intermingle those groups at all. There was no using footballs, blocking pads, nothing. It was just strictly agility. And we got about a little over 2 weeks into that before this latest, kind of resurgence of COVID-19 came back. And so they shut it down for about 30 days. So, nobody knows right now. My gut tells me, and again, this is strictly my gut, I don't see how the high school football season's going to start on time. I think, best case scenario, it maybe gets delayed a couple weeks. I sure hope it doesn't get postponed till maybe springtime, but the longer this goes, guys, I think the odds of it getting postponed more than just a couple weeks keeps increasing. And again, that's just Doug Pfaff's gut. That's not information that I'm being given by any school district or anything like that. But I'm concerned because, again, even if we can start practicing again, the time it takes to ramp up, I mean, there's been no football drills for 5 months. And usually there's been practices, 7-on-7 tournaments, a lot more, normal, what we think of typical football practices would have at least been going on for the past few months. And it's been, these kids have almost been on a 5 month vacation.
Your gut is the same as Jay's gut, my gut, I think.
Well, not literally.
No,
figuratively.
No, he's in shape.
I've seen pictures of you on Facebook, okay? First of all, let me just say how upset I was that when I'm trying to find a picture of you for our graphic today, I couldn't find one that I could tell if it was a college shot or a current shot. It really pisses me off that you look the way you look. Because I've aged a lot.
You're too nice. Well, obviously, you don't sound like my wife because she tells me that I definitely have aged.
So. Well, that's what wives do.
That's true. She definitely keeps us in check, don't they?
Yeah. So let's go. I think your feeling is the same feeling we've had. You're a coach now, and your son was a former player here at U of A. It's just as a parent, there's some tough times for your kids to say, should you play?
You're right. I mean, the unknown of the COVID-19 and is nobody knows. And I don't see how we could play sports, especially football, and not just see a cycle of kids continuing to test positive throughout the course of a season. And so what happens to any team, regardless of the level, whether it's Pee Wee, high school, college, or pro, what happens to a team when they have 12 kids or 18 kids test positive? I mean, do they still have to play the game with half a team or a third of the team not able to play? Do those players play and then infect the other teams and other players? And, I mean, it's just – there's so many unknowns that this season is going to be one to remember because – I don't know if anybody has a clue on how it could probably be executed without just having turns every other day based on just what we have to go through, not only as a human being, but then, you parlay that with being an athlete. It's just, it's difficult. And, I pray that it works out and that we, get a vaccine and get a better grip of this COVID virus. But I don't see that happening in the next couple months.
Doug, imagine if your son had another year at Arizona. Let's say he's looking at, senior year coming up. Where would you be as a parent if he, if he's a dad, dad, I've got to decide if I'm going to go to voluntary workouts and stuff like that. Where would you sit as a parent on that one?
It's a good question. I think the schools have to really ramp up the testing because we've seen that it doesn't take much to all of a sudden have a huge outbreak. And again, even if you test every day, the athletes, that doesn't mean that somebody might not have had COVID-19, but just didn't show symptoms for a few days. And so during that time period, how many people did they maybe contaminate? So I would definitely be hesitant. you know, the athlete in me always says, well, yeah, you know, we're immune because of our physical condition. But you know, now the parent in me is like, you got to think twice, because even if my kid survives COVID-19, what about the coaches? What about the athletic staff? What about all those other people that they come in contact with that, of course, are a little bit more in our age? You know, they're not 21 years old. They're a little older, and their ability to, you know, recover is not as high as somebody that's 21 years old.
Well, I just kind of lost my question here, but go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, because put yourself now in the shoes of an athlete yourself.
And that's what it was, yes.
You know, you're a college athlete, and right. Now you know how important it was to you and how much a part of your life being a college football player was. If you're sitting here and you're the athlete now, you know, where do you, I mean, are you the guy that said, well, you know, so, I'm not going to get it. I'm in good shape. I'm going.
Let's remember, he's 21 years old, 22.
Right, yeah. What are you thinking?
Yeah, and that's the thing. At that age, guys, unfortunately, you just think, hey, I'm going to play because this is the sport I love. This is the school or the team that I want to represent. And you just think that your likelihood of getting it is so minimal that you're going to take that risk, because that excitement of being able to play in front of thousands of people is worth it. Now, what happens if you play that game in front of nobody? You know, I don't know. Maybe that would change, because we play the game of football or any sport because you love the game, but playing it in front of 60,000, 80,000 people, you know, 45,000 people, it's a whole different experience than playing it in front of 300. And I mean, I'd love to say the 21-year-old of me would be mature enough to make the right decision, but my gut would tell me I'd probably still lean towards playing the game.
We got about a minute left. You're going to stay with us for the next segment. We're going to talk about the good old days when you played and maybe bring a tear to our eye. But let me ask you real quick, what's the game that you thought, how did the applause, you got applause a lot in your college days, but it all ended. How did that feel?
It depends. You know, for me, I never envisioned myself as, you know, let's say making a career out of being an athlete. I mean, I was blessed to get an education and play at a high level. And it, by the time I played as a senior, then maybe I did have a perspective of maybe playing, you know, in the NFL. But I think since I wasn't banking my whole future on it, when it ended, I knew it was just time for the next chapter of my life. And so I left with no regrets, Steve.
Yeah, perfect. Good answer.
Yeah, great answer.
Let's take a quick break here, come back and talk about some of those game winners, all the fun you had at U of A during your time in the late 80s, I think it was. 10:30 The Voice.
Yep.
Camille Rivas Rutherford with Coldwell Banker Realty has been one of the top producing real estate agents in Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, and Vail for more than 20 years. Let her help you find your dream home in southern Arizona. Her passion and enthusiasm for real estate has helped her become one of the most respected and trusted realtors in the area. And she was recently named a recipient of Coldwell Banker's 2019 International President's Circle Award. Camille's approach to sales and marketing and selling or buying a home is second to none. Give her a call at 520-250-5192.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone, we have former U of A football player Doug Pfaff. So just real quick before we get Jay with a quick question. How many game winners did you have?
I had four. So I had four. I was blessed. I played just 2 years at U of A. I came as a junior college transfer. So my junior year, kicked the game winner against Washington, which was the first year we had ever beaten the University of Washington. And then my senior year, had a game winner against Oklahoma. The following week, a game winner against Washington again. And then a couple weeks later, beat Washington State with a game winner in the last minute as well.
You know, Doug, my family doesn't understand how I've got such a dead-eye memory for Arizona football on a lot of stuff when I can't even remember my kids' names some days. But, you know, the first Washington game your junior year, that one sticks out in my mind because we were at Washington. You know, Steve and I were just talking about how we were standing on the sidelines. It was freezing rain. It was cold as hell. It was windy. And I remember that like yesterday. And I remember the Oklahoma game, of course, because that's, you know, one of the big games in, you know, Arizona history. I had zero recollection of those other two. I have zero recollection that you kicked a game winner in the last minute the very next week against Washington again. I just didn't remember that at all.
You know, it's funny. Don James, the great coach at University of Washington, the following year after I had left, I remember reading a quote as they were getting ready to play U of A again. And he goes, well, all I know is Doug Fastnacht going to kick a game winner against us this year because he graduated.
Partly because of you, I think they took it out on Arizona. Didn't they beat them like 54 to nothing the next year? I think you're probably to blame for some of that.
They did, but I think we extracted a little revenge on them a couple of years later when we beat them when they were ranked number one. And that was at Tucson. So, I was watching that game in Hermosa Beach, California, and jumping up and down when they upset Washington, who was number one in the country at that time.
Everyone has this perception about kickers. You know, they're not really football players. You know, they just come on and kick a field goal every now and again.
Doug, I never thought that, okay, just so you know.
But they do because they're somewhere on the other side of the field or something. They're kicking. How much pressure was there to kick those game winners? Because you knew if you missed, it wasn't going to be pretty.
You know what, guys? The perception of kickers obviously has been around a long time, and hopefully that's changing over the past few decades. But you're right. Kickers, if you produce, your teammates love you, and you feel very much a part of the team. And I was blessed to be able to have some great opportunities and contribute to the outcomes of Arizona's victories. But on the same note, I've seen where kickers have not performed and have cost the team victories, and you're absolutely right. It's hard to walk into a locker room knowing that, you know, the final play was up to you and you let everybody down. And so it's a lot of pressure. That's why you see so many kickers, even in the NFL, that, you know, can have a great 4, 5, 6 years, and then next thing you know, they're out of the league. I've always said kicking's 90% mental and 10% physical, and once you lose that mental edge, it doesn't matter how good of a leg you have. If you're not kicking it through the uprights and getting 3 points, you're not going to be on the team much longer.
How often do some of these games, you know, come to mind when you're, you know, just going about your daily business or whatever? Maybe you're in a situation where you think, you know, this isn't pressure. This is no big deal. I had a kick to win the game against Oklahoma.
Well, it definitely helped you because you're right. I mean, as I moved into my professional career, you know, doing a presentation to close a deal or talking to a group of people, I mean, it's not pressure because you're right. You've had 75,000 people either screaming at you to miss, or you've had 60,000, 70,000 people silent, waiting for you to hopefully, you know, win the game for them. And so, so that pressure does help you in a lot of different after athletic experiences, and just makes it easier to kind of go through some of those.
You must have, I'm sure your college days were a charmed life and all that, but I'm sure you kept close with U of A too. About 5, 6 years ago, Casey Scowron had one of those moments, big game against USC, I think, one of those games, and he hit it, they called the timeout, it didn't count, and then he missed it. Death threats and things like that. I'm sure that didn't happen to you, but you could probably sympathize with just the situation.
You can, and that's the only thing that I see in athletics that is so difficult is you got so many people that are fans, and you know, they forget that, you know, whether it's in high school and these kids are 16, 17, 18 years old, or in college and they're, again, 18 to 22 years old. I mean, they're so young, and to take it to that extreme is just incomprehensible. I mean, nobody goes out there to try to not produce, but sometimes you succeed, sometimes you fail. But for somebody to try to give death threats to an athlete just because they didn't perform on that one play, it's inexcusable. And it's sad because, again, nobody feels worse than that athlete. Trust me. I mean, you got to face your coaches, your teammates, your students, and your fans on a daily basis. And it's not easy. And that's why, you know, mentally I said it's like 90% of the battle, because, you know, if you do make a mistake, you can't let that mistake continue on to your next opportunity. You got to put it behind you and focus and get that next one, because if you let it compound, then pretty soon you're in a hole and you can't dig yourself out of it.
All right, so take us back to the Oklahoma game. I'd really like to hear, you know, what's going through your mind. You know, your team gets the ball. There's like, I think there was like 5 minutes and change left, so there's still a lot of time in a game when nobody could move the ball. You know, did you think, you know, there were a couple of possessions left in the game, you know, you guys end up taking the ball and just keeping it the whole rest of the game? Are you thinking, okay, I'm gonna have to make a kick, or I'm hoping they're going to score a touchdown? Where's your mind during that whole period of time? And probably was a good, you know, 15, 20 minutes of real time that you guys had the ball before you went in to make that kick.
It was. We had a great drive. Of course, Arizona offense back then was a ground and pound type of an offense. And so as we moved the chains, it was usually three plays and we picked up 12 yards. And so we just methodically moved down. And I go into, you know, every game with the mindset that it's going to come down to the last second. And I'm going to have to kick a field goal to win the game. That was just the way I prepared because, you know, again, you know, if I didn't prepare for success, I was going to fail. And so I always envisioned these opportunities coming and always practiced them during the week. You know, I'd kick field goals acting like, okay, you know, 46-yard field goal, 2 seconds left, I got to hit this, you know, we're down by 2 points. And so I would do those in practice. So when it hopefully did come to, you know, fruition on a Saturday during game day, I had done it 20, 30, 50 times already. And so I just felt a lot more comfortable when it did happen.
It's funny because that's what I remember the most from that game. After the game, and Dick told me talking about, if you vision it, it'll be that way. If you've got to vision it, you've got to vision it. And I think you agreed with that at the time. And you can always say that, you know, when you practice it and there's nobody in the stands, that's different than 55,000 people in the stands saying you better make it.
It's true, you know, but it's so funny, guys, when you really get locked in mentally. I mean, like, go back the year before to the game in Washington. We used to huddle away from the line of scrimmage, you know, for field goals. And so I was putting my tee down because my junior year we kicked with the tee. I'm putting the tee down, and I'm waiting for my holder to come. I'm like, where the heck is he? Man, they're taking forever. And because my ritual was I wasn't going to move till he got there. Well, I didn't even know Washington called a timeout. And our whole field goal team had already walked over to the sidelines, and I'm still waiting there. Finally, I look, and Coach told me, he's like, get over here. So, you know, like you said, he goes, gosh, it's cold. Let's kick this thing and get the heck out of here. So, just having the visualization, I think, is huge, especially for, you know, any athlete. But, you know, I got a little notoriety my senior year. I used to go to the stadium the night before a game, and in the dark with my holder and snapper without a football, we would visualize and go through the motions of about 30 field goals all across the field. So, you know, we just imagine a perfect snap, a perfect hold, and a perfect kick. And I think it helped us because come game time, it was just like we were doing that in the dark with nobody else there. We blocked everybody out. We didn't hear anything.
How many times have you seen the clip of that? Because if I hear it right, when you hit the kick, I think Bruce Larson, who was the analyst guy, said missed it because he thought it was going to be short. And I think didn't at the end of the season you say you actually had a bit of a leg injury or something? And that I thought you said that was as far as you were going to kick that one.
It was funny. I actually hurt my leg before the season started in camp, and it just progressively got worse every week. I pulled my groin, and as a kicker, you got to pull groin. It's kind of hard to kick a ball, but when I did pregame, my leg was always fresh and I could kick, and I'm like, oh, I feel great. But I didn't understand until about week six that, 3 hours into, the game, my strength had diminished. And so what happened in that kick, it was 40 yards, and as soon as I kicked it, I've heard that clip, and yes, he does say missed it, but it crossed that crossbar. So
Weren't you under the?
No, I was sitting to the side. I
was under it.
It was leaking oil. I mean, it was leaking oil early.
And it sounded like when you hit a thump, you had that thump into it.
And I actually, when you hit it, I put my hands on my knees because I thought it was going to be short, and and it made it, and the place went crazy, and it was a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, it was a much easier story to write on deadline for me.
Right. Hey, lastly, because Coach Tomey just passed away just a little over a year ago, how was it playing for him?
We had a great relationship, and it didn't start that way, guys. I was recruited by Larry Smith. When I came to camp, I did not get a very good first impression with Coach Tomey. So we had our challenges for half of my tenure at U of A. But between just my hard work and luck and giving an opportunity and taking advantage of that opportunity, by the time I left U of A, he and I had a respect for each other that you would have never thought would have developed based on probably my first 18 months at that university. Since I graduated, we had become very good friends, kept in contact with them, and he tells stories about me to every team that he coaches after he left U of A, and even some of the teams at U of A after I left, because of just kind of the trials and tribulations that I went through. And so I appreciate Coach Tomey. He was a great man. He told you exactly what he felt, regardless if you wanted to hear it or not. But he wasn't somebody that kind of was two-faced. He was the same man 24/7, 365. I have a lot of love and a lot of respect for him. Still friends with his son, Richie. See him maybe about once a year. But, I miss Coach Tomey. He was a heck of a man. I wish U of A football was like it was back in the day. I mean, I miss knowing that the Wildcats are going to play the way that we used to play. And that needs to change pretty quick.
Yeah,
great stuff.
Yeah, thank
great
you.
Stuff, Doug. We appreciate you being here on the show with us, and lots of great memories. We love talking about that stuff here.
And Jay didn't cry.
I didn't. I got a little tear. A little one right here, because of what you said about Dick, because he became a really good friend of mine as well. That's great stuff. So appreciate you doing that.
Be well, Doug.
Thanks.
Stay safe.
Hey, you too. You guys stay healthy, and I'm happy to be on anytime you need me.
Thanks a bunch.
Thank you. Hey, let's take a quick break here. Our last one here on 1030 The Voice.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Go look
local. Make the switch. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer customized solutions and get you what you need faster. Like our quick and easy credit cards and auto loans. All done online from start to finish. Save time using mobile banking, bill pay, mobile deposit, and mobile pay with just a few clicks. Live large accessing 30,000 plus surcharge-free ATMs and free debit card choices. Make the switch to Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/switch. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. That was fun.
That was very fun. Do you feel old? Yes. Because, you know, I feel like it wasn't that long ago that, you know, I was covering him and stuff like that. And it was
32 years ago.
30 years ago.
Yeah.
30 plus years ago. And a lot's happened. And I'm not joking, okay? He looks, his pictures, he looks as young as, he looks the same. Because, you know, if you go Google him and look for a photo of him, you see the football card that, you know, they used to make of, of all the players. Mm-hmm. And you see his headshot there. And then you see his headshot from his LinkedIn. They're the same guy.
Yeah.
He's the same guy. I hate those guys. I look at my picture, you know, I going through the clips, I had a column at the time that I was covering football. So there's the, you know, the headshot that would run with my column, and I look at that compared to what I look like now. They're not the same guy.
Hey, I put a throwback photo last week, and I was like, "Who is this?"
Hey, dude, you look good.
Back then or now?
Back then.
Oh yeah, thank you.
Today you're just kind of scruffy.
Scruffy and about 50 pounds
heavier.
Hey man,
you had the look.
I had the feather.
You did have the look. We all had that dang haircut, though,
yeah,
didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
We all had that.
It was keeping it. That's the key. You know, I think you couldn't move. Your head.
I kept it as long as I could. Yeah. I had to get rid of mine. No, I'm going to say. Well, I know I had it when I was covering sports.
This was 84. My photo was 84. Yeah. So you're talking 87.
I'm talking 80. Yeah, I had that when I was even finished. I think I must have gotten it when I became a serious business person and started working at Tucson Electric.
So the hair changed
at some point there. I went back to partying it down on the side.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't be the disco king
those
anymore.
Are definitely the good old days for me. thin and okay. Okay, now not
exactly,
so much.
Exactly.
So, hey, we found out yesterday there's going to be a lot of news coming out of U of A with the international students.
Right.
There's some wiggle room. They're going to try to accommodate things like that.
Right. Well, the Trump administration announced that if international students aren't able to go to on-campus class. So if the school they go to isn't having on-campus classes and only online classes, then their visas are no longer valid and they have to go back home. And we can debate whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but you know, the University of Arizona every college really has a lot of international students, and they're an important part of the college experience, both for the students, for themselves, for, you know, the teachers, and those kids bring a lot to our country.
Sure.
So the University of Arizona announced that no matter what, they're gonna have enough on-campus classes that the international students can stay. Now that, I don't know how that relates to athletes, if they have a different visa than, say, somebody who's on campus as a student. But let's not forget, I think 6 Arizona basketball players are international players.
That's why it's highlighted.
That's a big deal at Arizona, and at least as it relates to sports. I mean, obviously it's a big deal to those kids and their lives. But, you know, from a basketball standpoint for Arizona, that's a big deal. And the other sports.
Golf,
Adia Barnes has a number of international players on her team.
Track and field.
So, you know, if we're going to start kicking those students out, you know, what are we doing to the experience, and why are we doing that?
Well, first, they got to get here.
Right. Well, then there's that. They got to get here. And you know, a lot of them aren't here yet.
Right.
Some of them are. I think Ira Lee told us he was working out with one of the international guys in Southern California, so some of them are in the country.
Now you need 5 more. 5 more.
But, you know, that's good development on the U of A's part, you know, doing the right thing and making sure that these students who are invested in the U of A, some who have probably been here for a while and they're just trying to get their degree, they're going to get to stay.
Well, in the next 3 or 4 weeks, probably less than 3 weeks, we'll know more about students and the life.
Right. You know, Arizona is what? 16 days away from having to decide, you know, but they've said they got to decide by July 24th if they're going to allow, if they're going to have on-campus classes. Now, they've just said we're going to have enough, so apparently there's going to be some. The question is how many?
Yeah. Yeah, that in addition to decisions like that, we saw today from Michael Lev about the Schooler brothers.
Right, the Schooler brothers, and, you know, they're... trying to live the dream of playing football together, and they're both going to be in there with their last year of eligibility coming up. And so the question is, you know, if the football season gets moved to the spring, which has become more of a possibility than it was a few weeks ago, what happens to that? Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a senior, mm-hmm. and we've had this discussion a little bit, but, you know, in the article by Michael Levin, it's a really good read, and it talks about how these two guys are, and, you know, and it talks to his dad and how they're trying to, you know, make the best of it. It's interesting to see, you know, what's in their mind. And it sounded to me, I'm not trying to put words in their mouths, but it sounded to me like if the season goes into the spring and the NFL doesn't really flow with that,
right,
and they feel like they've got the potential of an NFL career, will they play in the spring?
Right. No matter what dreams they have.
Right.
You got to save your career for later.
Right. You know, these guys, look, you know, you're a college football player. It's essentially a job, a 4-year or 5-year job interview.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, most of them come out and they get to the end of it and they say, okay, I'm not getting that job. But, you know, the Schoolers, they believe they can. They've got a chance.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're going to do what's the right thing for them, which that would be my first advice to them. You know, not that I know everything, but my first advice to them would be, do what's right for you.
And that's advice that you could take for anything.
For anything, anybody.
Right.
You know, I've always been of the opinion that when Arizona, particularly in basketball, fans get upset that a player leaves early, and I'm like, why did he come to college? He came to college to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
He can get a job that pays him millions of dollars after his freshman year. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't he take that job?
Even the ones that get the job for $250,000 a year.
Right. I mean, if I could leave my, you know, college after my freshman year,
sure,
in journalism and get a $250,000 a year job, I'm all over that.
Sure, sure. It depends on who you are and how much you need or whatever.
Right.
But this is not 1962 or whatever year you want to say. This is more about, and they're coming here for a reason.
Right.
They think they can play in the league.
Right.
Whether that's true or not, in other people's minds, that's the case.
Look
at what we see now. Trier.
Right.
In and out for 2 years, gone. Raleigh Alkins, who everybody loved and could see he could play, guess what? Not good enough.
Right.
All these guys over the last handful of years.
A bunch of them. Nick Johnson, you know, had a cup of coffee in the league. And
so what are you going to tell
these
kids?
Guy was a player of the year.
What are you going to tell these kids? No, you better not do this.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and there have been some players, like I said, over the years that have left, and I thought, that one's
you
know, not.
I'll give you one.
That one wasn't ready.
I'll give you one. Grant Jarrett.
Grant Jarrett, Marcus Williams.
Yeah, that was no question.
A couple of years ago, never even started at Arizona.
Oh, the kid, the guard?
Yeah.
He was with Trier's replacement until Trier came back?
Why can't I think of his name?
Yeah.
Because he was here so long,
someone's
right?
Someone's going to text me right now. Right. Well, that's part of the problem. They're not here long enough to know. We know them. But I know who exactly you're talking about. He's from Atlanta.
That is
played
true.
At Memphis.
Right. So, you know, so I don't know.
This is sad. We're just getting old.
We are.
Welcome to
the Schooler situation was really kind of the one that really opened my eyes in terms of what these guys are going through.
Sure.
You know, the conference is throwing around, well, we may play in the spring. Well, are you taking into consideration what this is going to mean to your players?
Yeah.
And if you're going to make that decision without having a discussion with the NFL about what they're going to do, are they going to delay the draft, which they have so far said they will not?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to delay the combines, which is they've so far said they're not? Then how is that going to play into a college football season in the spring?
Decisions, a lot left the next few weeks and then months, of course.
Well, we're getting close to the time that I think we're going to they're going to have to make a decision one way or another. Everybody says it's by about the end of July. So
what's that saying?
We're a few weeks away and...
What's that saying? Get off the pot.
Yeah,
before that,
yeah, something or get off the pot.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Do
so
something
here we are.
Or get off the pot.
Here we are.
We're there, and I think that we're going to be, you know, the decisions are going to be made, and at least whether it's good or bad, there'll be some certainty to it. I still think we're headed to no non-conference games in college football if they even play college football.
Something we can agree on. I agree with you. Here we go. A good show today, Jay.
Another good one.
We're going to have Scott Thompson tomorrow.
One of Lute Olson's first assistants at Arizona.
Thanks, everybody.